Okay, welcome to our pre-show.
What is this tricky dick thing, man?
Oh, it's on CNN.
How you doing, Brea, honey?
So Brea's here. She's all rock and roll for the evening hours. She's going to get her insulin in about an hour. I just fed her. Just came back from... Today was like the one day this week I've had time to do shit. You know, errands and stuff. Because I wasn't in L.A. And tomorrow will be another day like that. And I'm supposed to be in Atlanta, not this Monday, a week from Monday. So anybody in Atlanta, other than my friends at Adult Swim, you know, want me to pay a visit if there's any ex-girlfriends. I'm kidding. I'm not kidding, but I doubt seriously if any woman that was involved with me when I was in Atlanta wants anything to do with me. Of course, I think I'm kidding. No, yes, I'm kidding. What the fuck is this? Elmer Gantry? It's Burt Lancaster with that lantern jaw of his and that. Oh, and Martin Milner. Burt Lancaster, Martin Milner, and Tony Curtis. This is Sweet Smell of Success or whatever the hell the name of that fucking thing is. I'll tell you right now. Sweet Smell of Success? Am I good or what? An all-powerful New York gossip columnist, Burt Lancaster, gives a press agent, Tony Curtis, some dirty work.
Whatever.
Boy, Sam Donaldson's being interviewed now on CNN. Christ, has he gotten old? We've all gotten old. I mean, when, you know, and all you young people who are watching this, you know, what I'm basically saying is the last time I saw Sam Donaldson, he had, you know, his hair was dark and he was like, Mr. President, he was giving shit to Nixon or doing whatever he was doing. If you ever saw the movie, if you ever saw Oliver Stone's Nixon, I recommend it. And it's funny because I have kind of a, I've got probably what a lot of people have. I have a bit of a love hate with Oliver Stone's work. I loved Platoon. I loved Born on the 4th of July. Was that Oliver Stone? Yeah. I did not like JFK that much. It was a little too conspiracy. I mean, I know there's some shit, but it ain't that much shit, in my opinion, okay? Although there were some good performances in it, no question. You know, Gary Oldman playing Lee Harvey Oswald was pretty inspired. I loved Nixon, and I'm trying to think of other... Oh, The Door. I thought The Doors was pretty good. You know, I thought Val Kilmer was really good in that. And he wrote Midnight Express, the one with the actor who died. God damn it. Really good actor, really good at Midnight Express. I can't remember his name, but Nixon is good because Anthony Hopkins does what a great actor does. He just inhabits the character, the essence of the person. So at one point, they actually put a prosthetic nose on him, and they got rid of it, and they shot most of the scenes without it. But they kept a couple of scenes that I'd shot early, I guess, with this prosthetic nose in. It looks asinine. It looks stupid. They just lost it. And basically what Hopkins did is he just played the character, and he played an American. He played a Californian. He played dudes that were that kind of generation, you know, God cocksucker, you know, everything, you know, every other word's cocksucker and God damn it, you know, and you know, Bunny, he's talking to Pat Nixon. He called her Bunny. That was her nickname. But there's a lot in that movie, man. There's a part where she asks him for a divorce. She says, I want a divorce. Because he has lost the California gubernatorial. Yeah, I remember when he ran for the governor of California in 1962, he lost to Pat Brown. And in according to the movie, she asked him for a divorce after that. And he's devastated, you know, and talks her out of it. And then, but gets him to promise that he's done with politics. She says, I don't want to do any more fucking campaign. He says, okay, I'm done. I'm out. I'm out, Bunny. You know, Hopkins doesn't do the, you know, he doesn't do that impression, but he obviously deep in the register of his voice, there's a scene where, and you don't know if these took place, this is where Oliver Stone does his license, you know, his artistic license, but there's a scene where they're leaving a car show, and he's a private citizen now, he's out of politics just like he promised her, and he's at a car show, I think in Houston, and he's on his way to Dallas, and they're in the car, and they are the guests of some very, obviously very wealthy rancher, played by Larry Hagman. So, you know, Stone obviously fell in love with that fucking character he played in Dallas. What the hell was that guy's name? JR? He had him play that. He just took that character and stuck him in Nixon. And so there's Larry Hagman there and a group of these cigar-chomping Republicans. And there's Richard Nixon with his Cuban valet. Forget the guy's name, but he went everywhere with him. And he's not Dick, you know. And there's Larry Hagman in character there as this JR guy says, I got a goddamn federal judge telling me I got to bust my grandkids across town with some nigger kids, you know, this shit. And he's just being real, you know, right-wingy and nasty. And he says, now, we got a whole lot of money we're willing to put behind you to make you president of the United States, you know. And so he says, he steps over the line, though. He says something to Nixon. And Nixon walks up to him and he says, you know, Jack, I learned something in politics. I learned it the hard way, but I don't know what he said to him, but something like, don't threaten, you know, or he gets angry with him and he says to him, because you don't, he says, I've got the EPA up my nose, this goddamn Environmental Protection Agency's up my fucking nose. And this shit says, if you don't like the EPA up your nose, try the IRS. And Hagman's scared. Goddamn, Dick, you're not threatening me. Presidents don't have to threaten. You know, or something like, presidents don't threaten, they don't have to. And I fucked it all up, but it's a great scene. And off he goes, you know. Because what Oliver Stone was saying about Richard Nixon was that the essence of the man was good. It was patriotic. It was driven by ill winds and driven by a lot of anger, but it essentially is a good guy. And that's the difference between, I hate to bring politics into it, but that's the difference between Nixon and Trump. There, you look as deep into Donald Trump as you want, you're going to find anything good about the guy. That's coming from a guy, I watched Richard Nixon, you know, and I saw the difference. Nixon valued the system and valued the country and would not put, you know, he quit. But Donald Trump is subjected to his moods. Trump, for instance, said, I've got bikers and I've got the military and, you know, things could get really bad. And that's a threat. But Donald Trump's not the kind of guy to follow through in a threat like that. He doesn't have the fucking guts. That's number one. He also is smart enough to know that he doesn't know how to control or which way he would go if that kind of a force was unleashed. He wouldn't know how to control it. Now, I know a lot of people are fooled and they think that he's got all kinds of balls and he's got all, I'm just telling you right now, he doesn't. He just fucking doesn't. I'll put any amount of fucking money on it you want. But he just says that shit because he's angry. He's angry. He's angry that people oppose him. He's angry that people disagree with him. He's angry that, you know, he's angry that he said stuff that he shouldn't have said, and he doesn't want to blame himself, so he blames somebody else. He's angry that he's too stupid for the fucking job, and he doesn't want to blame himself for it, so he blames somebody else. There's all kinds of reasons why Donald Trump's angry. He's angry because he's not doing a good job, and he knows he's not doing a good job. He's angry because he has to lie. Because if he doesn't lie, he has to tell the truth. And if he tells the truth, he's going to look like a schmuck. So, anyway. How you doing, Bray, huh?
Hey, baby. Hi, honey. Hi. Hey, Bray, girl.
She used to come up here. She doesn't do it anymore. I'm not sure if she doesn't want to or she just doesn't have the energy to hop up here or what. And I really rue the day that I ever turned on notifications for fucking motherfucking All right, man. I'm turning the notifications off on fucking Instagram. That's for goddamn sure. Driving me nuts. There's a really cool movie I recommend. Steve McQueen, the older Steve McQueen, the race car driver Steve McQueen, actor, The Great Escape Steve McQueen. It's called A Man and Le Mans, I think. It's a documentary about him making the movie Le Mans. And it's really interesting, man. And there's all kinds of shit that comes out in it. And they interview his son, Chad, and all the people that knew him then. And the people that had to come in and save the film. And it's an interesting thing because he says to his wife, it's the mid to late 60s, and Steve McQueen has really fucking hit it, man. He is hitting critical mass with his career. I mean, he's had a bunch of hit movies, and now people are throwing scripts at him, and he has the freedom now to direct and even produce. So he comes home from work and says to his wife, something along the lines of, I just bought the future for us. And she said, what do you mean? He says, I started a production company. So he starts this production company, and his production company is going to produce movies. And I don't know if it's the first one or not, but it's a script for this film he wants to do called Le Mans. And it's about the 24-hour race of Le Mans. If you're not familiar with auto racing, they do a race in Le Mans, France, that's 24 hours long. It's one day. And it's only on a 14-mile course, but it's 24 hours. So you're trading. There's two drivers. I believe they're 2 hours each, something like that. You're not getting a whole lot of sleep. It's an endurance test. And it's not only an endurance of men, but it's an endurance of the machines themselves. And it's a long, long-standing race. And it's about him making a movie out of this. He's playing a character. But what we see in the documentary is the behind-the-scenes Steve McQueen and all the shit that went on in this fucking movie. And I'm telling you, it's crazy stuff. It's fucking insane stuff. And he had a personal assistant. How are we doing, baby? Want some more water? That's a good girl. There you go, baby. That's it, Brea. Come on, baby. Come on, Brea. Want your water? There's your water. He had a personal assistant who basically had to take the heat for something that Steve McQueen did, which was wreck the fucking car he was in one night with a chick that was not his wife and this assistant in the back seat. And the assistant had to take the fall for the wrecked car. McQueen wasn't to be found. I don't know if anybody got injured, but this poor kid, you know, and they interview him years and years later about this whole thing and a lot of stuff. I think a couple of drivers died in the race. He brought in actual competitive world-ranked drivers to drive in the movie. Because he had to recreate a few of these, you know, scenes. Because what it was is this. He's doing a dramatic movie. He's doing a fictional film. But he's shooting it while the Le Mans race is on. So he's doing a movie and it's about Le Mans while the real Le Mans race is on. And whatever scenes he needs with his character, they shoot it separately, obviously. And then they've got all this sort of stock or real footage of the... And it's an impossible task. And in the middle of it, yeah, a couple of drivers, I think, in the race itself die. They've got to bring in some other guys. like I said, he's out with some chick, you know, with your wife there. What are you, you know? And they interview James Garner, who is in the movie. And James Garner has this really funny story. He says, you know, Steve McQueen lived up the hill from me in Brentwood. And when he got done drinking a beer, he'd throw it down the hill onto my fucking driveway. And there I had to come out every day. I'm looking up there. There's beer cans all over my driveway. Because I guess he was a very fastidious. Anyway, I was watching it and I recommend it. It's pretty good. Pretty funny. And, you know, all that other shit. What do we got here, man? Jeff Baker. What is this? Well, where's Frankie? What's Frankie? I'm going to add Frankie. What's Frank's username, man? Oh, is that who you are, Frank? I don't know. Moses Cleveland. How the fuck would I know that that's you? Moses Cleveland. All right. Okay, Frank, I got you, brother. How the hell am I getting enough Moses Cleveland? There he is. Made in Cleveland. My man. See, Frankie, his son is Frank Sidoras Jr., who is the rhythm guitar player with Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators, featuring Slash. That's Slash's band. And Frank Jr. and his dad and bass player in the band, Todd Kearns, are big fans of the show, big fans of mine and fans of yours. And so, I mean, they're really cool guys. I think it's a goddamn shame. Frank Jr.'s girlfriend has cervical cancer, and they started a GoFundMe. I think it's a goddamn fucking shame. In this country, we were on our way to affordable health care. Oh, God. Oh, fuck. What are you doing, Bray? You got brand new kitty litter, man. I got brand new kitty litter and everything there, Bray. Yeah, good girl. Good girl. Go on. Try to shit inside the box, honey. No, she's peeing right outside the box. Good try there, Bray. That's okay. I'm so fucking angry at that. I'm really fucking angry about that. I think it's a fucking shame that... And I won't share it with you here, but you can see if you go to my Instagram page, you'll see. And I'm not angry at Frank. I'm not angry at you, Frank. I'm not angry at Frank Jr. I'm not angry at his lady. I'm not angry about that. You know what I'm angry about. I'm angry about the fucking goddamn idiots that... Hey, Frank, did you go to Spain with those guys?
How you doing there, Brad? Hi, baby. There's a good girl. There's your heat. There's the heater. Yeah, feels good, huh? Feels good. Feels good.
Is that 21? 21 minutes, okay. So, Frank, you're touring with your son? That's fucking sweet, man. Can you go to Frank? See, here's the thing. Oh, there. Okay, that does it. I mean, I reposted his story, but you want to go to his bio to get the lowdown, but you hit his. This fucking. Here's another asshole. This goddamn sack of shit. Fucking economist. This Steve. What's this asshole? Simple-minded motherfucker gets his ass kicked every fucking time he's on one of these shows. People look at him like, what are you, fucking stupid? But there he is, just churning away, man, with his bullshit. He's so fucking dumb, I could beat him in an argument. I swear to God. All you need are facts. This fucking guy doesn't work with facts. Like every time he's on with somebody, they're always this, they're this. Like, what are you fucking talking? Are you on the same planet as the rest of us? The typical fucking guy that would work for this fuck, you know, full of shit, doesn't know anything, knows how to bullshit, knows how to kind of twist shit around. God damn it. What do we got going on here, man? What's up, man? What's up, baby? What happened to this? Repeal and replace. I get the repeal part. Did you ever really have a plan to replace it, you dumb fucking motherfucker? No. You know full well, man, why you can't keep your own insurance if it isn't adequate insurance. Anybody that knows anything about insurance, any person that gives a fuck about health insurance understands that. You got to be adequately covered. If you're not adequately covered, then the rest of the fucking country's got to pay for your ass. This whole thing that these motherfuckers keep hitting on, which is, you have the choice. You have the choice. You have the choice. Sure, go ahead and choose. And if you choose the wrong coverage, the rest of us got a cover for you. I'm not, you know, saying I don't want to. I'm just saying, wouldn't it be better if you just chose the right fucking coverage? So the rest of the goddamn country doesn't have to pay for all these people that chose the wrong kind of coverage. But this choice thing, which is a line of shit that the Republicans, who got no fucking plan... That's their line of shit they keep coming up with. They got no motherfucking, never did have a goddamn plan. Paul Ryan and his so-called, he was so ineffectual and such a fucking zero of a motherfucking leader. Nobody, even his own party didn't take him seriously. Jesus fucking Christ on a fucking crutch. It's beyond words. And these cunts, man, I swear to God, I know people who love their country, and I know people who are just playing a fucking game on Twitter. They don't really think it's as serious. There are so many really, I'm telling you, I didn't know there were as many stupid people in this country as there actually are. Because I never considered myself, I'm intelligent, but I didn't consider myself to be one of the top percentile of intelligence, I'm brighter than most of these fucks that I see on TV all the time, including Ann Coulter, Rush Limbaugh, you name it, man. Because all this shit I saw coming down the pike, right? All of a sudden, Ann Coulter's surprised by the way the president's acting. What the fuck is wrong with her that she didn't see this shit coming? What made her think the motherfucker was going to build a fucking wall? I knew he wouldn't. You knew he fucking wouldn't. Why is she so fucking stupid? I mean, think about that, man. You'll feel like if for what it's worth, you're smarter than Ann fucking Coulter, who is feted as one of the real, you know, wits and brains on the right side of things. And now she's belly aching and crying that he's not building the fucking wall. What the fuck did you think was going to happen, motherfucker? Oh, fuck. Mexico pay for it? Was there anybody that believed that? I guess. Some pretty fucking smart people. Some pretty fucking smart people believed it. Look at the guy, John Kelly. I guess he's a well-meaning guy. I don't know anything about him. He's an old school kind of a, you know, guy. But I think he's got, you know, the best interest of the country. I think he's patriotic. He's, you know, like I said, old school. Well, how fucking stupid do you have to be to go to work for Trump as his chief of fucking staff, thinking you're going to have any kind of a good effect on him? I'd go to work for him as the chief of staff just to torture his fucking ass. I'd last about 3 days, but I'd make the most out of those 3 days. I would just give him shit. You know, it's like, what are you going to do? You don't want to do that, Mr. President. Okay, you're going out there, make an ass out of yourself. What did you just say to me? He'd fire me within the first 24 hours. But it would be worth it just to get off a few really perfect shots on this guy. He doesn't trust anybody. You think you're going to go in there and manipulate him? Think again, motherfucker. He doesn't trust a soul. Anyone that gives him too much advice, he doesn't trust him. Anybody that's overly, that flatters him too much, he probably doesn't trust, although he tends to really like that, and he needs it. He's so goddamned, so warped and fucked up as a human being. He's got people licking his fucking ass 24/7. I maintain Melania, he's afraid of, I swear to Christ. She didn't take any shit from him. I think he loves his son. I think he's got a little crack in that narcissistic. But the point that I'm making here is, it's all got to be his idea. He doesn't credit anybody with, boy, this guy, he had the greatest idea and we're running with this. He didn't do that. It's all his idea. He picked out all these people who are doing it. Do you think he's going to take credit for the fact that he's had a cabinet that's had turnover like you wouldn't fucking believe? Corrupt motherfuckers, guys getting fired left and right, kicking people, drain the swamp. Who the fuck, who is stupid enough to believe that? Not his fault. Nothing's his fault. Folks, that's not normal. That's not fucking normal. That's not mental health. When you say that, it's not my fault, I didn't do anything wrong. I've never done anything wrong. I don't really have to pray to God for any to forgive my sins. He said that. This is an abnormal personality. And I think it's because his mother basically threw him over when he was about 3 years old. His mother just distanced herself from him at a critical time in his life. And they say it's the first 3 years. She abandoned him for whatever reason. Maybe she was depressed. Maybe she was unhappy with her husband. Maybe she just wanted to get the fuck out of America and go back to Scotland. Who knows? But she abandoned her son, and that sucked the conscience right out of him. From that point forward, he was a troubled child. He's such a mental midget that he talks about being a little asshole as an adult, as if that was a really great time in my life. Man, I smacked this teacher. He's an adult man. You know, you're an adult. You look back and then you say, boy, I was a real problem, you know. You don't look back on that with pride. You know, like you're looking at yourself as if you're the same 70-year-old guy, except you're only like 2 feet high or some shit. I mean, that fucking clown. And I know exactly what Cohen means when he said you talk in code. I know exactly what he's talking about. Unfortunately, that's not, you know, people are going to say, oh, you're imagining. No, I know what he's saying. I know exactly what he's fucking saying. That's the only way you can communicate if you're Donald Trump, because much of what you're doing is unethical, borderline fucking legal, dishonest as fuck. No way this motherfucker's a billionaire. You know that, and I know that motherfucker ain't a billionaire. They lied to Forbes. They inflated his worth so he could make that motherfucking billionaire list. Forbes magazine, boy, you guys really came down a long way in my view. What the fuck is wrong with you stupid cunts? How the fuck do you evaluate these people? And then today he's talking about how he has the military, he has bikers. He's got, you know, so watch out because he's going to do what? What are you going to do, Donald? Huh? Do you think people are going to sit back and take that? What do you think? You're going to, first of all, when he says bikers, he's not talking about the Hell's Angels. The Hell's Angels are an outlaw club that, as far as I know, are not affiliated with any goddamn political candidate. They wouldn't do that. They have individuals who have favorites. The club itself. So he ain't talking about one percenters. He's talking about these motherfuckers that are, you know, on the weekends, they put their fucking, their cuts or whatever the fuck they call them, put those on and play like they're badasses. And during the week, they're fucking bean counters someplace. Jesus Christ. And then he speaks with the mail. I got the military, I got cops. What are you going to fucking do, you fat fuck? What, declare a fucking military coup? You don't have the military like you think you got the military then. The threats, all of that stuff really hacks me off. And I'm telling you, this guy, well, he's not getting reelected. I've already on his Twitter feed, I bet him $5,000. So I can just imagine, you know, collecting $5,000 from, but he ain't going to get reelected. It could be close, maybe, I don't know, but he will not get reelected. And that's where that's at, man. Okay. Now, this is the one here, I think. What did you do, Henry? Oh, here we go. I want the other one. All right, so that's that. That's that. Where's that other thing, man? Oh boy, it is really something. I'm telling you, it's really an amazing thing, isn't it? I got a spot to do tomorrow. What is this? Oh, the 18th. I gotta fucking do bills tomorrow, man. Well, why don't we just rock this bitch now, man? Where are you? Come on. Where are you, motherfucker? Brea, watch out, honey. I gotta watch her because she'll have her goddamn tail under one of the wheels. Only one time I kneeled on her tail. She used to. Brea's lived in a lot of different places in this house. She used to live in the upstairs closet in the master bedroom. Then she lived in the upstairs closet in the back bedroom. Then she lived on the living room couch for a while. And all of these were really comfortable places we made for her. But then she lived in this closet. And eventually she settled down here. But then she lived under the bed in the back bedroom. And when she lived under the bed, I had to every day move the bed so I could find her to give her insulin. And one day I kneeled on her tail, a poor little thing, and it was just this kind of weak little, and I looked down, oh fuck, I'm kneeling on your tail, Brea, sorry. But the cool thing about her is she's kind of chill, you know. You walk around her and she doesn't freak out. She keeps eating, she's doing her thing, where the other one like flips out if you like make any kind of a weird motion. I love how Trump, this is worth its weight in gold, watching Trump trying to talk to Schumer. And oh my God, it's fantastic. Because Trump looks like he's going to have a fucking stroke. And Schumer is just like laughing, man. He's looking at him and laughing. I'm not going to blame you. Of course he did. Mexico's going to pay for the wall. Of course they didn't. This motherfucker tells more goddamn lies before he gets out of fucking bed in the morning. Then I watch that stupid fucking idiot that runs the Republican Party, that Ronna McDaniel. I don't want a guy that's moral. I don't want a guy that tells the truth. I want a guy who's just going to get policy done. I'll go to church for morality. Oh, okay. Well, that's a new one on me. Republicans were the guys who were running around talking about extramarital sex and being true to your family and no abortions and fuck you. Phony motherfuckers. Those motherfuckers, you don't stand for a goddamn thing in that fucking party. What they stand for is this. Liberals are always out in front doing shit that makes us nervous. And I'll tell you why conservatives hate liberals. This is why they hate them. Because fucking liberals have been on the front edge of things like civil rights, women's rights, gay rights. Fucking liberals are generally taking the lead in that shit, and the conservatives have to come along later and go, yeah, okay, we agree with you. And it pisses them off. It pisses them off that we live in a time when all these things are important and the people that are pushing that stuff are liberals, and the conservatives are sitting there with their thumbs up their fucking asses. And they hate liberals for that. They fucking hate them for that. And they come with some bullshit about how liberals are, you know, their morality's fucked up. Goddamn fucking President of the United States, fuck you, motherfucker. You don't give a shit about morality. Get the President of the United States, that motherfucker brings AIDS, syphilis, God knows what he's brought into his home to infect his wife and his kid. Give me a break. They just want to win. Conservatives just want to win. They don't give a fuck if they win with a Nazi. They don't give a fuck if they win with a gun to your head. They don't give a shit if they win carving the fucking Constitution a new ass. They don't give a shit. They just want to win. For once in their stupid, meaningless motherfucking lives. And I'm telling you, it still bothers them that Nixon was forced to resign. That pisses them off. The only political party, as far as I know, they're the only motherfucking political party to have a president resign. Yeah. Impeached. And because the writing was on the wall, he had to quit. Otherwise, his ass would have been convicted and he would have been tossed out in the street. Don't give me your fucking bullshit. Jesus Christ. At least admit you're full of shit. Fuck. It's
responsibility for it, even though he's on tape promising to.
Yeah, we know Anderson. Jesus Christ. There's a guy that, you know, his best days are behind him. Whoa. Anderson Cooper had on some scumbag, Dick Durbin, or not Durbin, it's a different guy.
That's a North American trade agreement, that was going to pay for it.
Some fucking surrogate.
Pay for it. That didn't work out, and there was a shutdown to show for it, but he tried to dodge responsibility.
Yeah, all right, you know what, then why don't you get your fucking reporters in a press conference and ask them these questions rather than you sitting there.
I am proud to shut down the government for border security, Chuck, because the people of this country don't want criminals and people that have lots of problems and drugs pouring into our country. So I will take the mantle. I will be the one to shut it down. I'm not going to blame you for it. The last time you shut it down, it didn't work. I will take the mantle of shutting down. And I'm going to shut it down for border security. But we believe you.
And you did, and you fucked up, and you had it jammed right back up your ass. Now you got to veto a resolution that even your party supported. But you know what? A bunch of old white people in red states, and yes, some younger white people, working class white, they dig him. A minority of voters. Fuck the majority of the people in the country. Who gives? They're brown and Muslim. We don't, you know, they don't count. Fuck you, motherfucker. Fuck the white people of this country if this is the shit that I... You know, is this it? This is what you're giving me? I'm a white man, okay? Aren't I part of that group? Well, I got news for you. This ain't good enough, this fuck. This motherfucker belongs in a garbage can out on the fucking street. I want something better. Lincoln, you motherfuckers. If you take today's Republican and stuck him back in 1860, 1861, they'd be a fucking Democrat. Don't worry about it. I'm talking about Lincoln. They wouldn't recognize Lincoln, man, if he came to their front door asking for work. All right, man, let's get this piece of shit going. I'm really fucking hacked off today. I am really fucking hacked off today. I don't give a flying fuck who knows it. I am so fucking pissed off. But that's what this pre-show's for. So it doesn't go spilling out into the show. Where's the fucking Jay Santos, man? What the fuck is going on here, man? God damn it, I gotta give her fucking insulin. About 20 minutes. Well, where the fuck is this motherfucking thing at, man? Come on. Where are you, dude? Come on, let's go. Huh? No, I don't want that fucking shit, man. What I want is... Oh, fuck! God!
Big. Our mantle was heavy. heavy, kind of uncomfortable.
Oh, shut up. You know, if you guys on CNN want to run your fucking mouths doing these commentaries, and that's fantastic, why don't you get your reporters in the field to press this fucking prick with some of these questions? Okay? Because I'm telling you, the press corps in Washington, when it comes to asking that, you guys suck. You just fucking suck. You just fucking, you give no support to each other. You let him, you know, that Sarah Sanders just runs you motherfuckers around. You know, you don't look good in those press briefings. I don't know how else to tell you. And if you think you're, because you're asking her and you're pressing the point and she keeps telling you to fuck off, she's moving to somebody else. If you think that you're really looking good, no, you're not. You look like you're getting steamrolled. You want to ask her a question that's going to throw her off so much she loses her fucking temper. Otherwise, you're not doing your fucking job. You want to know why? Because that's what it takes now. You're not getting straight answers. You're getting lied to. And you sit there. This takes a whole new kind of reporter. This takes a reporter that can get into this guy's head. That's what it takes. Quit talking about how the truth doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. On to the next, what are you going to do about it? You see Chris Cuomo every night. He has that fucking Kellyanne, whatever the fuck she's on every night. Every time she's on, she just... I don't know if he thinks he's winning those arguments. He's not. And she's not winning them either. One thing she is doing, she's just talking right over top of him. She never shuts up. She just... Bop, 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 bop. When she finally quiets down long enough for him to ask a question, his questions, it's like he's throwing fucking snowballs at her. All this after the fact, here's how we got him here, and here's how he got, and here's how he lied. All this shit's... When you are confronting the man or members of his administration, that's when you got to do the do. Okay, I'm just trying to calm down here, that's all. Because this shit, this is my country too, you know? I live here too. And I don't really... And that piece of shit that we got for a president, I just hope and pray, you know, I really mean it, man. I'm grateful for the fact that people that voted for this motherfucker have never said so to my face. I mean, yeah, they say so on Twitter and all that. But never to my fucking face has anybody ever said I voted for Trump, because I don't know what I'd fucking do. I mean it. The difference between me and Trump, I really fucking mean it. Trump's just talking like a badass. He ain't a badass. There's nothing about that motherfucker that's remotely badass. But me, I'm just fucking unhinged enough. That's probably why, he's made a lot more money than me. He knows when to, he knows how to lie. That's another thing from the fucking Nixon movie. Nixon says about his father, "My father died broke. He was so goddamn honest." That's what happens to honest men. That's what happens to honest men. They die broke. Ain't gonna happen to me, but... All right, so I don't know how we're going to do this. I can tell you right now, I'm in no motherfucking mood for anything. I'm in no mood for anything.
talking about something deep, Holmes, like... What is...
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.